Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Ankur Gupta, who is the General Manager of Big Data for Sears. Hi, Ankur. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, hi, Karen. Happy to be here. Thank you.
So I think it's very interesting to have a general manager of big data for a large department store. Give us a sense of what it means to be a data-driven, digitally integrated retailer today.
Absolutely. And so as part of Sears Holdings, I also run a startup for Sears, big data startup for Sears called Metascale, as general manager of that company. And what we have been doing is we are helping Sears and other organizations with their big data needs. So to your question, what it means to be a data-driven company and be an integrated digital retailer, I think data is ultimately the underlying factor for you to be able to take better business decisions. And you need to have that infrastructure. So first of all, you need to have the business vision. And the business vision is, we want to allow our customer, at Sears, we want to allow our customers to shop the way they want. So what we call as shop your way. You can buy online, you can buy in store, you can buy on phone, however you want. And we should be able to make it a convenient experience for you to shop through us and provide you what you're looking for. But if you think about it, the business idea is excellent, and you know, you bringing all channels together. So you buy online, you pick up in store, you buy online in store, or you combine all these channels together, buy from your phone. You can actually go to our store and get items delivered to your car and things like that. So all of this integrated shopping experience, if you think about it, it's great business ideas, convenience for a customer, and hopefully result in better business for a company. But underlying it is a ton of infrastructure. All the data points that you're getting from different sources, different channels, you need to be able to make better business decisions. And for that, you need to have the right IT infrastructure, the right resources. And we have built big data infrastructure for ourselves that, allow us to provide the shopping experience that we expect to provide to our customer and be the integrated digital retailer. So as part of Metascale, we actually help companies with their big data needs and help them become that data-driven, data-focused company.
So, Ankur, I can imagine that data has always been important to any retailer, but I would imagine that given all of the consumer pressures to do the things that you just described, so shop your way, the demands around big data, not only capturing big data, but analyzing big data, have really become more acute. Is this a recent phenomenon?
I wouldn't say it's recent. I mean, big data originally was a concept that came out from a Google paper in, I think if I remember correctly, 2004-5 time frame. And then the underlying technology, which is picked up over time, it's Hadoop and related ecosystem, was made open source by folks from Yahoo in 2007-8 time frame. So the adoption is happening gradually. At Sears, we were one of the early adopters of this technology. So we started using big data several years ago when most of the mainstream enterprises were not doing so. So I think we were one of the first few companies, and as I said, in their mainstream enterprises, not the Googles or Facebooks of the world, who were the founder of these technologies. But we see the adoption is happening quite a bit now. I mean, a ton of other companies have realized the value of open source technologies, or there are a lot of commercial big data technologies. Pretty much every IT vendor out there is coming up with their own version of big data tools and technologies now. So I think the adoption is happening pretty fast, and organizations are realizing the value of data. The important point here is to remember that our lives are becoming more and more digital, and we are bombarded with the data points all over places. I mean, think of it: when you drive your car, you now have a smart car that can send signals to an operator sitting somewhere in case there is an emergency. It can send signals to your phone. Think of how many times we are accessing Facebook and Twitter and all these social media through our phone, and how are our social conversation, which used to be over tea and in person, you know, I guess many, many years ago, happening on Facebook and Twitter of the world. So, so as I said, our lives are bombarded with the digital data from all over the place, from these different channels, and organizations are realizing the need to understand that data, to make sense, to be able to, one, collect the data, process it, and then make sense of it, and so they can make better consumer decisions. Think of a scenario when one of your customers, they buy something online and they go to your store to pick it up, and let's say if they don't have a good experience, guess where they are going and talking about it? Well, they will call your customer service and shout at people, but they will go on Facebook or Twitter and rant about it.
Yep. No, I think that's a really, really good point. That, you know, the availability of these communication channels sort of cuts both ways, and at the same time, the availability of data is just, you know, I think so great. It's almost overwhelming. So my question to you is, how do you actually establish benchmarks for delivering value, given all the various data points that are available to you? How do you assess which actually deliver the greatest impact?
Yeah, I mean, and there's not really a single formula for it. There is not really a benchmark to follow. It's really you identify the use case first. What is it that you're trying to gauge? What is it that you're trying to make sense of? So I'll give you an example here. We were just talking about social media, so think of it: if you are you're a beverage company and you have multiple brands, you're selling water, you're selling you know, Coca-Cola, you're selling or cola or any of, you know, these different water, and then the different brands are the same. You go on social media and you say, what are people talking about your brand? What are the keywords they're associating with your brand? Do they think of fresh? Do they think that my cola brand is associated with thirst, or do they think it makes me feel good, makes me feel alive, makes me feel happy, whatever that may be. So there are benchmarks associated with what is it that you're trying to gauge. So if you're looking at sentiment of people through social media data, you want to see how that works. What are that could help you with your branding, that could help you with your you know, association of or messaging to your customer, association of those keywords to your brand and use into your marketing message. Similarly, you could also gauge how your marketing efforts are working. So let's say if in a certain area, in a certain zip code, you the same beverage company launches a campaign and they're giving a certain discount or launch some kind of massive campaign within a particular zip code area. They can actually then just see the sales results from that area and then combine that with social media sentiment from that area and see, really, is that the marketing campaign working for me or not? So I think the fact that you have access to this large amount of data, and now you have tools and technologies that allow you to process the data in a very cost-effective manner, I believe allow you to ask questions that were not possible before. You can go deeper down. Now you have access to the customer data through social media, through their behavior online, on your website, or their behavior in store, or on phone, or whatever that may be, for you to get a complete 360 view of that customer, and you know, identify it, who your loyal customers are, what their lifestyle could be, how to better reach out to them, and most importantly, how to better serve them. And ultimately, that's what we're in the business for. So to wrap up my super long answer to your very direct question, I think having that access to this large amount of data and ability to ask questions on that data and ability to process the data allow you to get insight into your business that were not possible before. And you can benchmark it according to, you know, what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, I think you're right. It really does help to really establish better targeting for, you know, ultimately what is customer satisfaction, and that's, you know, measured through sales and basket size and all of those things that that are important to retailers generally. But I'm curious to know how you look at data as an input into developing different business models, which of course is what a lot of retailers are exploring. You know, are there different ways in which business models can be designed if there's better and different data that's available to the retailer? What are your thoughts?
I think so. Absolutely. As I said, now with the vast amount of data that is available at your disposal and ability to ask questions on top of data, allow you to really make, define the way, define your business in a completely different way. So there are, based off of the results that you're seeing from your data, you can serve your customer very differently. You can actually define new products or come up with new products, a new offering for the customers of what they may be looking for based off the, based on the complete data access that you may have. Maybe there were channels that you were not targeting before. Maybe your customers are going there and there are ways that you're missing reaching out to those customers. So, I mean, I'll give you an example. We were, for one of the retail customers where we launched this big data initiative, they were offering wireless access to their customer in their store, and it's interesting that when we did the implementation, the idea was we want to make sense of customer behavior at an aggregate level, obviously for privacy reasons and whatnot, or what customers would do when they come to your store. So what we learned that a massive number of customers were actually going to video sites. So for a retail customer, you would think that they would be looking at competitors. They would be looking at the products somewhere, maybe eBay or Sears.com or any other website for that matter. But we learned that a significant number of customers were actually going to the video sites, such as Netflix and YouTube. So
really? They were kind of hanging out in the store watching TV.
I guess the idea was they had moms coming to the store and giving the iPod or iPhones to their husbands or kids to watch the show, whatever that may be.
Interesting.
So,
Very interesting.
But these are the kind of, all of a sudden it forces you to rethink your business model or your go-to-market to say, maybe perhaps I should have my marketing message on these websites. Or find a way to connect with our customers through these channels that I wasn't even thinking about before, or maybe put an ad there or whatever that may be, right? And so that's these are the kind of, again, ability to access the data, ability to ask questions on top of the data, and then define your business that way could lead to business models that you're not thought about. I mean, I'll give you another short example, not to prolong this one or beat this one question way too much. But we recently implemented real time inventory capability for a client, another lead retail client, specialty business. And what we learned was now that their inventory team had access to almost real time sales data, they could save money on their logistics costs. So earlier, they were getting their inventory data once a day, and they were placing order for particular items in a particular store accordingly. But now that they could see in real time how items are sold in a store, they could, let's say if a truck was leaving that evening, and instead of waiting till next day to know what inventory may be missing in the store, pretty much in real time, they could see if the store is low on an item B, let's send that item along on that truck as well. So now all of a sudden they're able to save a ton of money on the logistics business just by having the real-time capability or real-time insight to inventory as customers are buying information, are buying products from their store. So it's really, I mean, again, having access to that large amount of data, making database decisions can allow you to build new business model, new capabilities that probably were not on your radar before. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I think, I think we're seeing lots of interesting retail business models playing out in different areas of retail. So there's, the membership around free shipping across retailer sites. There's the subscription model for certain types of products within certain categories of retail. I think it's interesting, but your point, and I think an important one, is that without the data to really understand, first of all, who may find it attractive, and then mm-hmm. secondly, whether you can fulfill that at a profit that's acceptable is really important. So it's a fascinating, it's certainly a fascinating topic, and I look forward to having you participate in a more detailed discussion about this in a couple of weeks at our deep dive on retail reinvention at Harvard at our summer school. So, Ankur, thank you very much for taking a few minutes to tease us with what's to come. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Karen. I appreciate your time today, and I look forward to the event as well.